The Drive-Thru is GTM's monthly news episode and is sponsored in part by organizations like HPDEJunkie.com, Hooked on Driving, AmericanMuscle.com, CollectorCarGuide.net, Project Motoring, Garage Style Magazine, and many others. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor of The Drive-Thru, look no further than www.gtmotorsports.org. Click About and then Advertising. Thank you again to everyone that supports Grand Touring Motorsports, our podcast, Break Fix, and all the other services we provide.
Well, I guess that just about wraps up April, and I have to give a big shout out to you, Tanya, for helping us get through this April episode here. And as Brad likes to say, fortunately, he couldn't be with us here tonight.
That was set up pretty well. That was set up pretty well, buddy.
I thought we were going to get a good April Fool's on you, my man.
No.
Well, I guess we should probably kick this thing off, shouldn't we?
Maybe. I got to get to it.
Pop the clutch. Let's do it.
Welcome to Drive-Thru episode number 44. This is our monthly recap where we put together a menu of automotive, motorsport, and random car adjacent news. Now, let's pull up to window number one for some automotive news.
Well, you know, in the spirit of April Fools, we seem to do this every year, kind of flip-flopping between Herb Day, Earth Day, April Fools for April. It's such a slow news month. And I got to bring something up that you brought up before, Brad, that you don't like to hear. It's the mid-year already for 2024 vehicles. And I think that's why the news is so slow, because we should be talking about those 2025 models that are right around the corner.
I can't say that I'm excited about any new cars, really.
I found a good one for you. And in the spirit of upcoming Father's Day, of April Fool's, I found the perfect dad joke for you. You know how many, many times on this show you will kick off and go, you know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah, the old Family Guy bit. Yep.
Yeah, you know what really grinds my gears?
What's that?
Clutch failure.
Yeah. I'd have to say that is probably the number one cause of grinding gears.
You know, I thought that was good. I read that, I laughed out loud. I was like, that is the perfect petrol head dad joke if I've ever heard one. That's fantastic.
Yes.
It is unfortunately a slow news month. We aren't kidding about that, but we do have some things to cover here. Wanted to kick off just a little bit of Earth Day stuff, talking about the 20th anniversary of the Green Grand Prix. If you missed it, I'm sorry you missed it. We live streamed it again this year on our Twitch channel, and we were posting about it on our new Instagram. So if you're not following us at Motoring Podcast Network, please do so. That's where we're posting all the updates about the shows, about the drive-thrus, about everything we're doing, especially with our partners and other folks that are participating in the Motoring Podcast Network. So 20 years of the Green Grand Prix, I got to ride shotgun with one of the folks from Toyota Corporate in a brand new 2024 Prius Prime. I learned a ton about it.
Ooh.
There's a nearly hour and 45 minute video of us going back and forth, talking about the Prius, talking about Toyota, the history of Toyota, motorsport, as we're driving around the track. So you get a perspective of Watkins Glen while we're driving this Prius and, you know, debating back and forth and stuff. So shout out to Jeremy from Toyota. Fantastic time. Excellent driver. Has done the Green Grand Prix a ton of times. The autocross was a little lackluster this year. We have recap footage of that as well out on our YouTube channel. The weather wasn't great, and I'm thinking maybe that's what kind of put a damper, haha, pun intended, on the event. It did start to clear up throughout the weekend, but I will say some of my favorite cars, as you saw, we posted some pictures on our social media on at Grand Touring Motorsports Instagram channel. The veggie-powered Rabbit diesel pickup truck was definitely a favorite for me. And then the autocross-killing Geo Metro, aka Suzuki Swift, was back, and all EV, built by one of the universities. Fantastic car. Good to see that back out there again.
And I'm assuming they explain how the ruling works, or the scoring and everything. So what is it? It's the greatest distance and the amount of time you have to run it or something?
It's a trophy bearing event because it's a SCCA sanctioned road rally. So you actually score SCCA points, you get a trophy. It's a legitimate, it's not just some gimmicky thing that they're putting on. It's very professionally done. I mean, obviously after 20 years, they've got their act together. This year, they did try some different timing software, which is pretty cool. And the most important thing, you know, obviously the autocross is scored like a traditional SCCA autocross and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God, the Sienna at the autocross, that'd be fun.
They do break it down into classes, which is cool. So the Sienna will probably be in its own class as a van, just like my Jeep was in a diesel-only class, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not closed to just EVs or hybrids. It's alternative to gasoline. So there's a whole bunch of options there. There's homegrowns, there's SAE cars, all sorts of stuff at the Green Grand Prix. So at the end, what you hang your hat on, what you can boast about is those MPG numbers. And I'm surprised you guys didn't ask me, how did the Prius do?
Is the Prius Prime a plug-in hybrid?
It is. What I've learned is all the Prime models are plugins.
Okay. So that's what makes it Prime.
Exactly. We managed to squeeze out by playing with the hybrid system, because what's cool about the Prime is you can actually force it into gas only mode or full EV mode or hybrid mode.
You can hypermile it.
You can. So we were able to stretch the 40 miles of all electric that it can do.
49.
Yeah. Throughout the 80 miles of the Green Grand Prix, and we clocked in 99.9 miles per gallon.
What?
It was insane. So we barely used a gallon of fuel during that entire 2 hours that we were on track.
Something tells me that the E46 M3 that Clarkson ran against a Prius on the Top Gear track would not be able to see those same numbers.
No, not even close. The Green Grand Prix is a lot of fun. Hoping to see it grow maybe in its 21st year. Hear some rumors about things that are changing. So really looking forward to that coming up next year at Watkins Glen. So if you can make the trek, check it out. But if you want to see what it's been like over the last couple of years, check our YouTube channel for all the different live streams. I guess they wouldn't be live streams anymore. They would be just videos, right?
Stream, yeah.
It's streams. Yeah, just, I guess you're streaming it, yeah.
Before you move on, for those of us, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, me, who are interested in possibly running with my, now that I'm a hybrid owner,
ooh,
Toyota Sienna, maybe next year or in years to come, where can we go to get more information?
www.greengrandprix.com. That'll have all the rules, regulations, details, costs. It's not a very expensive event. But yeah, everything you need to know is on greengrandprix.com. Well, other big news for the show, we advertised this on the Motoring Podcast Network Instagram and a bunch of other places. As you know, we have a partnership that's been building with the ACO for the American arm of the Automobile Club of the West, the sanctioning body of 24 Hours of Le Mans. So I took over as the MC for Evening with a Legend. And I was looking back over the calendar, you know, kind of reminding people, hey, you know, check out these episodes, the things we've done in the past. And almost to the day, the serendipity of this, right? And I hate that word. Almost to the day, I got to sit down and do round two with Mario Andretti. What an unbelievable, just legendary driver, hell of a guy. For almost 85 years old, he is in top physical shape. He's all there, amazing storyteller. We specifically talked about his not one, not two, but nine attempts at winning Le Mans over basically a four-decade period. And so lots of really interesting stories. I mean, there's one point when you listen to the interview, we're just cracking up because he's talking about braking zones at night, and he tells this story about this church, and he kept using it as a reference point. At one point he goes, I just kept thinking that I hope the church doesn't move. What? So it was a lot of fun. It was good to get back together with Mario again. And we're going to re-release the episode here in the next coming week. So stay tuned to Break Fix Podcast, where you'll see the Evening with a Legend series coming out. We're actually kicking it off with a reprise of Ben Keating's episode from late last year. So that's going to come out. And then we're going to kind of leapfrog some of the episodes. So we're going to be bringing that onto the Motoring Podcast Network, obviously sponsored by the ACO. So really looking forward to that. I also did Rick Noops a couple months ago in February. That'll be coming out here in the summer. And then we've got some other guests lined up. So I don't want to spoil anything, but if you're not an ACO USA member, check it out. You can get access to the private Facebook, get access to some of these legend. We actually recorded the Mario episode in front of a live audience, and people are sending in questions and managing the chat. And so it was a really, really good time. I was super geeked to see him. And again, you know, just focusing on those Le Mans stories. I mean, so much good and so much bad and so many learning experiences for him. I just was like absorbing as much as I could from the storytelling. So absolutely fantastic. And it is available right now on our Patreon for our VIPs. So you can get it uncut, raw, exactly the way it was recorded today, patreon.com/GT Motorsports.
Sweet. So what do you have planned for Mario next year?
I know, right? We got to do an anniversary special with Mario Andretti. I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of our showcase.
shortest episode ever.
Exactly. So why don't we move on to automotive news?
I feel like we should just start making shit up.
Well, you know, that's what some other shows do, but we're going to stick to the facts.
Volkswagen announced this month the new W24 VR motor going into the GTI.
So what you're saying is it's Volkswagen with a T, right? Remember that?
No, it's Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
They're from Minnesota. Volkswagen from Minnesota.
We'll power it with eggs. That's our new alternative fuel. We'll call it the Volkswagen.
No, they should power it with potatoes.
What would that be? Spudwagen?
Yes, Spudnikwagen.
All right. Well, we got no Volkswagen news, no Audi news, no Porsche news. We got nothing from Mercedes because I don't know what they're doing over there building the EQS. But we have some news sort of by way of BMW. Do you guys remember the color changing car that they were kind of throwing out there? But it wasn't really color changing. It was monochromatic, like a Kindle body. And you could do all this kind of stuff. And then they talked about patterns and, you know, making the car chameleon to the background, all that. You remember? We talked about this a couple of times.
Yeah, but I thought it was actually towards the end there. The latest variation was actually color changing.
It was official in April. I don't know if it's April Fool's, but the headline reads, BMW unveils the world's first fully color changing car. What could go wrong?
Cool idea, I guess.
Breaker, I'm in pursuit of a blue, green, yellow BMW.
I guess the question is, how long does it take?
Yeah.
First of all, do you have to swipe your credit card to download the subscription so that you can change the color? And do you have to buy new colors through microtransactions?
Mm.
Do they use the BMW/EA subscription model?
Yes, all of that. I don't know. I think the idea is cool. I mean, you're going to see some crazy stuff. To quote Tanya from the last time we talked about this, I believe she said, some asshat's going to run around with dick butts all over their...
Shout out to Sam Harrington.
Yeah, right. I don't know what the limit is on the capability or the technology. It was just sort of a headline and a picture of a not so attractive BMW in a not really Harlequin. It was a very Price is Right looking 70s layout.
I feel like you didn't need to say not so attractive BMW. I feel like you say that anyway when you just say a BMW.
You know, the grills are small on this particular one.
That's the news right there. BMW grills have gotten smaller.
Again.
Small grill. America, small grill.
I like the idea of a Harlequin. I want to change it up. I want my car black today, tomorrow navy blue. I want to do something crazy because I'm going to a car show. I think that's cool. But having owned a BMW in the past, and you've heard me say this before, overcomplicated and not made of the best materials. So sort of wondering how long before this breaks. It's going to be expensive to replace.
Yeah. Is it Sherwin-Williams paint or is it Behr?
It's Kindle paint.
Yeah. Is it, do you flip a switch? I bet in order for it to work, the car probably has to be in park or, you know, has to be in some special mode.
Yeah.
You can't do it while driving down the road.
Well, it looks like I stand corrected. Our resident Mercedes aficionado has found an article for us. What is this all about?
This is the most interesting thing happening right now. And it's pretty sad.
What is this fossil that you have presented us with?
What are you talking about?
The G-Wagon. It's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. They've been making this thing for 100 years. How is this news?
And now they're making an electric one.
Well, yes. It's not even about the G-Wagon per se. But yes, they're making an electric one. But what they're doing is alphabet soup badge engineering again, dropping the whole EQ, EQE, EQ whatever nomenclature, and they're going back to the more traditional letter and numbers.
Thank God.
Even though the numbers, when it's EV, really don't mean anything anymore, but...
The points don't matter.
100%.
Points don't matter.
The EQG. What? Get out of here.
How do you pronounce that? Equigy. I got an Eggie, a 2005 Eggie.
So it won't be the EQG anymore. It'll just be the G580.
It's just the G.
The G.
It's the G.
But who knows what the 580 actually has anything to do with.
Brad, I get your point. It's sort of like Volkswagen. How do you actually pronounce Touareg? Is it Twarg?
It's Torg from Borg.
Yeah, right. I never really glommed on to the whole EQ idea, the EQE and the EQS. And I mean, I looked at them and I went, that's an A class, that's an ML, that's a G Wagon. Why reinvent the wheel? You know, I guess we went through the same thing with Audi, although it's been 30 years where they dropped the Audi 80 and the 90 and they became the A4 and the A5 and all this kind of thing. And they leaned into that. But Mercedes had already established their nomenclature. And when they went to this EQ idea, it just didn't make sense. Now, as far as this fossil is concerned, it should be in a museum at this point. This is unbelievable that it must be super popular. They can continue to sell the G-Wagon with basically almost no revisions.
Well, I mean, news about the G-Wagon, you know, a little side tangent. Two players that were just drafted in the WNBA on the same day both bought G-Wagons for themselves. So they are popular with the affluent people.
Bought or given?
The article I read said bought, but you know, I don't know.
I don't think Lewis Hamilton has bought any of his Mercedes. That's all I'm saying,
Oh, of
right?
course not.
Oh, well, I mean, they're drafted by the WNBA. I don't think they're getting much from Mercedes.
I'm just saying. Mercedes sponsors some of the stadiums and sports events too. I mean, I see it out there every now and
That's
again.
true. That's true. I wouldn't be surprised if they got some sort of sponsorship. Anyway, to tie into the G Wagon, you know, they are still popular. We've got a club member or a friend of the show who has one as well, although he kind of beats the crap out of his because, you
That's
know, he
true.
actually off-roads it. They still float around.
And I want to hate on it, but I like the G-Wagon. I think it's cool, but it is a fossil.
Fossil they still make.
I know.
But you know what? You're a fossil. So, of course, it makes sense that you would like it. Everything you own is fossilized.
Well, here's the thing.
Even the Jeep isn't that old, but it uses like old fossil fuel.
That's true.
Let's be real to Brad's point. This is a vehicle for the affluent. The 2024 G Class, the AMG G63,
We're going to do a pricing guess.
is $183,000.
What? Dang. There's a lot of other
Yeah.
cars you can buy for 200 grand.
There's a class of people that are supporting the purchase of these vehicles.
Having ridden in a G-Wagon, they're not that nice compared to the other Mercedes, like an
They are
S-Class.
military vehicles. Why the fuck would it be nice? People are delusional. The people that buy this, you know, I'm going to stereotype here. The rich white blonde ladies that get this to drive around to the shops on Rodeo Drive, I think they're getting some luxury vehicle. It's the same middle class version that buys the Jeep Wrangler four door or the Bronco. They think they're getting something super special. No, it's a turd.
Dude, you got it all wrong. It's sort of like when all the BMW drivers started buying Audis, all the G-Wagon soccer moms now drive Land Rover or Range Rovers or whatever they are, Evoque, partially designed by
No, I
Beckham.
think they're driving Cayennes.
Well, like, there's that too. Anyway, if you're not driving a Puro Sangue, I don't know what you're doing, right? That's the new hotness right now. Come on. Well, since we're in mainland Europe and I just brought up Ferrari, we need to talk about Stellantis, don't we?
Yes, let me get my caviar.
Count Stellantis. It's like the count on Sesame Street. Like, that's how serious I could take it. All right, get this. Italy says it's illegal to sell the Alfa Romeo Milano outside of Italy.
Build,
What?
not sell, build.
Yes. They have a law that prohibits this.
Okay, explain it to me.
Not the Milano specifically, but there is some sort of law apparently that an Alfa Romeo cannot be built outside of Italy, cannot entirely be built outside of Italy. So there's a little loop there, and it depends how they designate at what point do the components come together, make it the car, because they can probably do some assembly.
So you build a rolling chassis,
Right, some part of it, bring it back in and finish it.
But when you give it the Alpha Heart, you got to give it the Alpha Heart in Italy.
The Alfa Soul.
Yes, the heart and the soul.
I imagine walking into Alfa Romeo, behind the receptionist is this wall explaining the gestation period of an Alfa Romeo. Like, when is an Alfa? Like,
When is it life?
oh, wait, so I am misinformed here. So it actually is the fact of the name of the car. So a car called Milano can't be produced outside of Italy because it's Italian sounding and it would be false advertising, essentially.
If I can I just say, this sounds like the most Italian law I've ever
Exactly.
heard. This is Italy. This whole article and just whole situation is 1000% Italy.
It's so stupid, it's real, right? And that's the convoluted nature. And this is what drives me nuts every time I go over there. People are like, I don't understand, you know, your heritage, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ah, it's stuff like this that drives me nuts. Like, who thought this was a good idea? And who wasted the time to make it a law? I mean, I can understand if it's part of like the ethos of Alfa Romeo to be like, we'll call it something different. Sort of like the whole Alfa Romeo Tonale is sold here in the United States as the Dodge Hornet, which it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up because that drives me nuts because it has nothing to do with the Hornet. Blah, blah, blah. I won't get on my soapbox and rant about that. But the point is, it's that kind of just idiocracy that exists.
I mean, it really would be the first Alfa Romeo not built entirely in Italy, though. I wonder if that's part of their issue, too. How does the Giulia not sound Italian?
Because we misspell it here. We spell it with a J, so it's all good, right?
Okay. I mean, I guess Milano, the city.
Well, they sold the Alfa Romeo Milano here in the 90s when Alfa was trying to do its thing again and failed miserably. So it's not like the 164 was also known as the Milano. So it's like whoop-de-doo. So maybe it's that. It's tying back to a failed launch of a car. They don't want to do that again. Who knows? You know, they're superstitious. They're silly. You know, whatever adjective you want to use, whatever. But speaking of Italian cars, you may or may not be in the investment portfolio to buy one of these vehicles. But William Ross from the Ferrari Marketplace, who has become part of the Motoring Podcast Network, shares his views most recently on the subtle differences between the 550 Maranello and the Ferrari 575. And it is a deep dive, it is encyclopedic. William is a wealth of information. I found it fascinating, and I actually learned a lot. Now, if I go to a car show or if I go to Car Week and I see one of these, I might more readily be able to tell the difference between the two at first glance. And he points out some things, even cosmetically, that I thought were really interesting and things to look for.
It's one of my favorite Ferraris ever.
Well, I know. And that's why I bring it
Such
up.
a beautiful car. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that got me talking about the styling, because the 575 and 550 aren't that different, it came down to like little things like you mentioned it before, like the little turn indicators, but also like the fog lights, just these little changes that they made. And that's what made the difference. Now, obviously, the 575, the big giveaway was the color matched headlights to the body. That immediately is not a 550. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. So there's these things to like look out for. But I'm with you as a front engine V12 rear drive Ferrari, one of the best looking cars still to this day. I don't think the 599 and some of the later ones are as good looking as when the 550 hit the shelves.
Yes.
But what really blew my mind and I didn't know was that the 550s were all manual, right? I was expecting certain percentage would be flappy paddle and all this kind of thing. And so he dives into all these details and then talks about buying them as an investment, all those kinds of things. So if you're interested in those cars, check out the episode. It's the most recent Ferrari Marketplace. It's on our platform. Well, moving right along, we don't have any other domestic news. And that wasn't really domestic news either, because we talked about Italian cars owned by a conglomerate that owns American cars. So we're going to move right across the globe into Japanese and Asian domestic vehicles. And this next one has to be an April Fool's prank, because otherwise it is headed directly, do not pass go, do not collect $200, to the uncool wall. Thoughts on the cabriolet version of the Integra?
This person's probable rendering doesn't even look that bad, honestly. This was put out on April 1st. It has to
It
be
has
an
to be.
April Fool's thing. There's different posts here and there. There's nothing definitive from Acura saying it's true. There's also nothing saying it's not true. There's no like, oh, it's just an April Fool's thing.
This is the modern day Chrysler Sebring convertible.
Yes.
I see it now. You're right. Oh my God. That is just, but I'm still not sold on the Integra.
You're not saying you're right. It's Integra.
That's right. Integra. It's so large. And so I'm like, ugh, it's an Accord because the Integra and the Civic, and even the Civic's gotten bigger. And yeah, blah, 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 blah. But the other day, and I think Tanya and I were together when we saw this brand new Acura TLX.
Was it TLX or TSX?
Whatever it was, it's got hips like an Audi RS4 or RS6 Avant. It was low, it was wide. I don't care how long it was. Big wheels, tinted windows. I was like, that is hotness right there. I was like, and I don't say that a lot about Hondas, especially the more modern ones. I'm like, ah, they're okay. Couldn't stop looking at especially those hips that they put on that car, those flares. And I'm like, it's all factory. And I'm like, damn, that's a good looking car. So I would give that a second thought if I was thinking about a sports sedan right now.
I guess it is a TLX. I don't think they make the TSX anymore.
No, I think they discontinued that whole.
Yeah.
And then wasn't there an ILX for a while, which was
Yeah.
the precursor to the
Was
Integra?
trash. It was
Yeah.
freaking trash. It was based on the Civic.
Well, skipping right along to new EVs and concepts, I want to call back our discussion about Fisker from last month. Remember how they were having issues and the ocean is having problems and all these recalls and blah, 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 blah.
Fisker always has issues. That's just like their natural state.
And the three people that bought them, I feel so bad, right? And again, I don't know. Is this Jalopnik having some fun with us or what? But you're hearing about, three new cars, and then there's an article on the other side saying Fisker is running out of options as all stock trading halts. And I'm like, wait, what the hell is going on?
Apparently, they're going to be possibly claiming bankruptcy soon, so.
And that's just it. And that's where it was like, wait, they're going to come out with three new cars. They can't get the ocean right. And the company's basically falling apart. A lot of misinformation. So I have a hard time believing anything that comes out in April. Maybe that's why it's such a slow news month, because some of it's just so unbelievable right now.
Well, according to Business Insider, there's four automakers in talks to buy them out.
Really? Who's on the docket?
General Motors is always on the docket.
Does not indicate.
They'll buy any losing company. Was that Nikola? Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oops.
Whoopsie. Well, I wanted to take a moment to talk about wheels. And our friends over at ESC Carbon have recently released pictures of the fully formed E3 we've been waiting a while to see. So they're able to put that into production. When you look at it, it's a multi-spoke wheel, kind of reminiscent of a early 2000s BBS type style, like an RKRX, that kind of thing. It's a cool wheel for an all-one-piece carbon fiber wheel. But it got me thinking about wheels on cars these days. We had this whole fad for a while where, as we know, Tesla puts the covers on some actually decent looking wheels. And there's a lot of, I'm going to call them air quotes, interesting wheels out there and wheel designs out there right now. I kind of wanted to look at this from the other perspective and ask your guys' opinion. Who do you think has the ugliest wheels on their car right now?
Which automaker?
Yeah, which automaker?
All of them?
Brad, have you seen some ugly wheels? Man, they just keep nailing it. 1000% ugly wheels.
I don't know about now, but if we go back in the day, I have to say those stupid double three spoke came on the SN95 Mustangs.
Oh, yeah.
You could always tell it was a V6 Mustang because it had those stupid wheels on them. Anything three spoke is just complete trash. Except for the steering wheel. Except for the steering wheels that drive from the legendary R32
Well,
Nissans.
I was
God.
also going to say I have a sweet spot for the three spoke, not three bolt like the smart car. The three spoke wheel from the original Viper. I thought those wheels look cool, but they're very 90s, right? They're very in period appropriate, and they look good on that
They're
car.
very ugly. Very ugly.
No, you're blaspheming.
No, they're it's three spoke. Any wheels that are wrapped in tires are ugly. I stand by this statement. You know what really grinds my gears? Three spoke wheels grind my gears.
Maybe I'm pointing out the obvious here. I think the winner right now, take a look at the cars on the road, the new cars on the road. I mean, the EVs are trying some really weird stuff, whatever, but ugliest wheels on the road right now, I'm going to give the award to Kia. They're all heinous.
I actually like some of them.
Oh, they're just
Some of the
so.
wheels that come on the Telluride, I've seen some pretty wicked stuff. And the wheels that come on the Hyundai Genesis, I know it's not Kia, but some of the wheels that come on the Genesis models are pretty wicked looking too.
One or two, but I think in general, the regular line of wheels that they're putting on, like the EV6 and whatever that Saab thing is that's running around, they're just all kind of funky. And what everybody's doing right now is these sort of GTI style flag in the wind, hyper aluminum with a black inset. Like they're just funky looking. They don't look good when they're spinning. They don't look good when they're still. They always look kind of dirty. And I'm just like, ugh, these wheels are gross.
I get it. They almost look like steel wheels
Right.
that they painted to make look like they've got spokes.
Exactly.
They do this for aerodynamics.
For a million reasons.
Yeah.
I think we need to pay closer attention and maybe start thinking about an ugly wheel ranking system. Like, who's second place? Who's got the second ugliest wheels out there? And there's some humdingers in the old days, to use an old-timey term.
Oh my God, the wheels on the Aztec.
Oh, God.
Complete trash. They had branches, like little sprouting branches off the spokes. Oh my.
Oh, they were awful. The Ronal teddy bear. I know there's people that love those. There's some,
Oh,
those are
those are awesome. Those are fantastic.
the Daisy that they had on the Beetle. Ugh.
Oh, the Daisy was pretty.
There's some
Yeah.
winners. There's some winners out there for
The
sure.
teddy bear was awesome, though.
Stop it. That was making a comeback too. Well, Brad, it's time we move on to Lost and Found, your favorite section, where you scour the internet looking for the newest old piece of junk on dealership lots.
If I had to guess,
The Ford GT.
I guarantee the Ford GT is still out there.
Don't give us any of these, more of these Jettas and stuff, man. You got to give us cool cars.
That's what I was going to say. Those are the cars that are going to still be out there. No max price. Unless Daniel bought them. I don't know what he's got up at the mountain now. Yep, those two Jettas, one diesel, one VR6, are still for sale at Alexandria Volkswagen.
Nope. No, thank you.
Yeah, the rest of this is trash.
Well, I love this next one, Brad, because you know how we talked about Dodge Darts for so long. We've talked about Vipers that are still for sale. You can pick up an NSX or two every now and again. But this next one, just read the headline.
What? How is that possible? Sold negative. What the fuck? How do you sell a neg? So they bought one back. So I'm guessing it was a lemon. I haven't read it yet.
Well, let's bring our listeners up to speed.
Negative one Chrysler 200 last month.
Stellantis sold
How?
negative one Chrysler 200s.
So they sold two and bought back three? How did they do this?
Is brilliant.
That is the burning question. How does an automaker sell a negative car?
Maybe this is like that Karen moment where it's like they bought it, they drove it about 10 feet, and they said, I need to speak to the manager.
They sold a negative car. How does an automaker sell less than zero cars?
Maybe it's just clickbait.
Well, it's the Autopian, so of course it is.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, I think this was my April Fool's thing.
Get this trash out of here. Clickbait. Go away. This story's stupid.
Well, we do have a legitimate uncool wall nominee. I present for your consideration the 2003 Kia Sedona GT Cabriolet.
This was ahead of its time.
It's a three-row. What the hell?
If this came out when the Nissan Murano Cross Cabriolet came out, they would have sold tens of them.
Tens of them.
Tens of them. They would have sold more than negative one. I can say that. Oh, I love the suicide doors on this too.
Right?
So somebody did this in their backyard. How unsafe is this vehicle?
There's some structural integrity lost in this vehicle
Is
for
this an
sure.
e-prepared car? Is that what this is?
100%. Now you got to cut the windshield
A
off.
lemons car?
It's
Yeah,
got to
there you go.
be. It's got to be. But you know, I really, really like the fact that we went retro with this and put a hood ornament on the Kia. What
Hook
do
'em
you?
horns.
Oh
Oh man, this is terrible.
I
Terrible.
love how they mounted the hood ornament.
They're turbo clamps.
Yeah, they got it from Advance Auto. I bet they hit the steer and killed it. And they're like, well, what are we going to do with its horns? It's mounted on the car.
It's a Kia and the wheels are ugly. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I didn't even notice the wheels. I have to go back
They're
to
so ugly, you don't pay attention to them.
that. I couldn't get past the convertible.
What do you think, Tanya? Would you drive this stellar piece of automotive design?
Yeah, I drive it right off the side of a cliff and jump out of it at the last second.
I love that they put music to this. R. Kelly's Bump and Grind.
That makes it better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get in this death trap.
Well, would you get in this or our next vehicle because of its recent recalls? Because we would be remiss if we didn't talk about
Tesla.
Before we jump into Tesla, have you noticed after 44 drive-throughs that we have begun to really split hairs on Tesla? Tesla has become its own segment on the show. I remember when it was just We Would Be Remiss. And then it became Tesla Gate. And then it became stupid shit that Elon does. And now the Cybertruck has its own segment by itself. because it is a spectacle.
Well, there's some other non-Cybertruck stuff in here.
Lies.
But the Cybertruck is obviously the new, quote, hotness. So
Ugh.
it's top of mind. Finally, after 16,000 years, it's in production. 16 minutes after being in production,
Oh my God.
it's already recalled.
Oh my God, this is so fucking stupid.
And it's like a silly recall. I mean, it's a serious thing, but it's also silly at the same time. When we've gone through this, we've seen this before. It's the reason why all cars now have the little clips on the floor mats, is because unfortunately, Toyota had to learn this painful lesson of what can happen in the footwell if something lodges and gets the accelerator pedal stuck. The car keeps accelerating.
But Tesla marches to the beat of their own drum.
Just want to point out the Germans had carpet clips in the 90s. It's not new.
Yes, but it wasn't until there was a problem.
Yeah, but their carpet clips cost $15,000.
Well, it's the little nubs underneath the
Yes.
carpet that have been, solidly holding carpet in place for
They're
ages.
bolted in from underneath the car, and then the only way to get them out is engine out.
Yeah, 100%. Well,
Service position for your floor mat is engine out.
in a Beetle, yes, everything is engine out in a Beetle.
Well, the sad thing is, you'd think that the little things like this, and this isn't a format issue yet.
If this is worse, this is much worse.
No, this is an accelerator pedal falling off issue.
Not the whole pedal, though, just the cover.
Just the slide-on cover, and apparently it's a glue issue. The glue, the temperature, I think, something, I don't even remember because I don't care
They're
enough.
using Elmer's. That's what's wrong.
Yes.
They left Home Depot because shit was too
No, they
expensive.
didn't.
They went to Target and bought Elmer's from the school supply section, and then they're using that on this pedal.
It was back to school sales at the beginning of the year. It was
Oh, yes.
discount, no tax on the
Yeah, they bought out the entire like Southwest region.
It literally says on the bottle, Elmer's glue all. It's pretty straightforward. It glues all, right?
Apparently
No.
not your whatever this accelerator pedal is even made of. I don't even know. Probably plastic, maybe a little bit of stainless steel,
Yeah,
leftover
right.
pieces that they reformed.
There's no wood in there?
No wood in this one. I know
Okay.
I read somewhere that they were attributing it to in the production line, something with the temperature, the adhesive wasn't right, and
Oh,
then
come
so it
on.
didn't set or something. So basically, when you're mashing down the accelerator pedal, you end up sliding the cover off, and then it jams into what would be.
Hold on a second. What kind of troglodyte is pressing the accelerator pedal like Donkey Kong?
Hey. Some of us have big feet and we can't control it.
No. Okay, because to the point of the Toyota incident, if I am using the inappropriate rubber floor mats in one of my vehicles, meaning that they don't clip in to the clips,
Right.
and I am constantly actually pulling the floor mat back, sometimes while I'm driving, just by virtue of my feet being there, I'm not even doing anything, but by virtue of my feet being on top of it, there's enough, I'm not pressing down on it, but it does slide forward constantly. So I
Yeah.
could see that a loose little bullshit cover on the pedal, especially if it's the type of pedal that's on the floor,
Yeah.
then you kind of have that weird motion of you making your foot go up anyway. So I think it would be easy to have that cover come off. And then it jams into what would be the transmission tunnel if it had one, right? So that center console piece like jams in there and it keeps the accelerator pedal depressed. And somebody apparently had it happen to them and they hit a pole, allegedly.
I thought they called that ludicrous mode.
I don't know if the Cybertruck has ludicrous mode, but that was ludicrous to have happened.
Well, I love the fix. Can we get to the fix?
The fix is on par with everything, right? I mean, I personally would love to spend $100,000 on a car to have the glue not set correctly and then have the fix be a frickin' rivet.
I would like to point out I did research. Just like the Model Y, you can go to your local Home Depot, aisle 13, bay 26, and buy a packet of rivets for like a couple dollars. Home Depot.
Does a rivet work? Sure. Is it aesthetically pleasing anymore? I mean, not to say that it was to begin with without the rivet. The rivet could be an improvement. I don't
Par
know.
for the course with the Cybertruck, but you know, hey.
You just spent $100,000 on a car, and that's how they're going to fix it. They're just going to be like, oh, yeah.
I mean, not to open this can of worms again, but this is what I keep saying. Everybody oohs and ahs over these vehicles, and the build quality is variable from car to car, and it is not on par with the 100-year-old manufacturers. Pick one: Chevy, Ford, Fiat, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche. It doesn't matter.
You can't get these wet. Let's talk about build
Oh,
quality.
Jesus.
So they keep focusing on car washes or washing your car, but I'm like, so what happens when it rains and the car gets wet? It's shorting out the electronics temporarily, and you gotta like wait hours for it to reboot.
Doesn't rain that often in California where they build the Cybertruck.
Well, no, they built it in Austin, didn't they?
Again, does it rain in Austin?
Yes, it rains in Texas.
Lies, lies, fake news.
In the hill country, actually, where it's quite green, they do get some water.
Lies.
And when the hurricanes come through, they get the remnants of the rain from those. At any rate, I couldn't find it. I thought I saw something going into the whole car wash thing where it's like, don't take it to the car wash and make sure you take it to the car wash that it has to be some sort of like no drive mode or something. And it basically like shuts down, it like locks the charge port, it disengages the wipers, apparently. Like, what is what? And then it like locks the doors and all this stuff. And then there's like a roll mode. So it's dissing. I don't know. Anyway, but the article was a guy, I think, who washed out the bed and then he ended up like bricking the truck for a
Oh my
while and
God.
wouldn't turn back on. And I thought I saw something going into that where they showed, I guess, water was going under the bed somehow and then getting like stuck in like frame rails or something like that. And then I guess whatever wiring, maybe. I don't know. Don't quote me. I saw it briefly and I closed it and I don't remember how to find the article again, but I'm just like, that's wild. To your point, it's like there's so many other cars on the road that can get wet. And
Oh.
it's not a problem. Like, I think we've figured out how to send a car through a car wash and not have it be catastrophic. Like, what? Again, you spent $100,000 on a car that you can't get wet, you can't drive after midnight. Like, oh, is it a gremlin?
Yeah, you don't get it wet after midnight.
And not the AMC, yeah, the 80s movie, The Gremlin. Oh my God.
Who is taking their Cybertruck to the car wash, though? Because do you just wash stainless steel? I thought you just kind of wipe it down with a diaper or something.
Well, no. So if you go on Tesla's website, there's a whole like page scrolling of how to clean the exterior of the thing. And it's like, don't use this, don't use that, don't do it in the sunlight, don't do it after you've eaten, wait 30 minutes.
You can only do it on the day of the full moon.
In Febtober. Yeah, like what?
There's like wild notes in here too. And this is from the Tesla website. Okay, this is legit stuff. Don't use alcohol on the headlights. I'm like, why? What are the headlights made out of? Alcohol evaporates.
Because your beer will rust the stainless steel.
Ah, okay, wrong alcohol. There was also a thing in here that was like, oh, if I could find it again, it was like, yeah, here it is. Do not aim water hoses. Okay, so like if you're washing your car and you had the garden hose, right? It's like, don't aim the water hose directly at the windows.
Wait, aren't these those indestructible bulletproof things?
Windows, I can't aim a garden hose at. Like, what? Now, I don't think it's the glass itself because then it's the door or the hood seal.
Think they leak.
So don't get it wet, basically.
There's a higher probability of Apex seals in an RX-7 sealing better than those window seals in the Cybertruck.
Apparently, and then it killed me at one of the things, like the recommended way to like to clean the stainless steel. Again, this is from Tesla.
Unreal.
I know you've written some articles about how to clean your car, and we've had the wax people on. I feel like even if you're not the most into detailing, you know this. And given it's stainless steel, it's said that you use a circular motion. And I'm like, have you ever cleaned a stainless steel pot? If you have anything abrasive, a circular motion. Oh my God. I mean, even on a painted car, you don't really want to use a
Yeah.
circular motion in case there's something gritty there because you will leave swirl marks. You
Yeah.
always go quote unquote with the grain, so it's less noticeable. Oh my God.
You know, since we're talking about cleaning, I included an additional article here. It goes back to the, you know, why the trucks are rusting because it's from February and it's not about that. I included it because I wanted you guys to see these pictures. I don't know if somebody urinated on this vehicle, vomited on this vehicle, or what, but this is why they look terrible. Like all the pictures in this article from Wired, oh my God, this thing looks so bad, awful.
Oh yeah, no.
Absolutely awful.
It looks like your appliances in your like this was the first thing I said. Do you not know when you have water splashing, like the front of a dishwasher or your stove? Because it happens, people. You go reach for the towel that's either hanging on your dishwasher rack or bar or on the
Yeah.
stove, oven door bar, water hits the surface and it looks like garbage after 2 seconds.
I will say this. Now, this is an argument for something that I just recently tested. So, if you go back into the April catalog, you'll see that Don from Garage Style and I did an episode with Dan Williams from Owner's Pride, and their Eco Wash is designed for low water conditions and all this kind of stuff. Thick. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try it until I understand it and get a bottle and read it and kind of mess with it. I'm not going to really understand how it works. I tell you what. I think that soap is perfect for the Cybertruck. And here's why. I did it on two different vehicles and I was absolutely astounded by the results. Literally a cap full. And I'm talking about like a Pepsi bottle cap full that you would get on, like, you know, out of the 7-Eleven case, full of this soap to 3 gallons of water. Rinse the car if you want. Don't. It doesn't matter. It comes out the same. I washed our van and I washed the Jeep using the Eco Wash with only 3 gallons of water. I didn't rinse the car before, did the whole thing, used up all 3 gallons of water that I had, didn't rinse it afterward. It looked as clean as if I had done it the traditional way or went to the car wash. Unbelievably good. One of those things that until I tried it, I wasn't convinced. But in the case of the Cybertruck, I could see something like Eco Wash being perfect for it.
So there is a section for waterless wash. You got to hand wash using a non-ionic pH neutral waterless wash with a high quality microfiber towel.
It sounds like that waterless shampoo.
And I was thinking the same thing. Again, 3 gallons of water to a cap full of soap. I did both cars, 3 gallons a piece. But I was thinking about it. If you're in a situation in California where water conservation is important, you know, they have drought conditions, don't water your lawn, don't use a car wash. The Eco Wash is perfect. But then, obviously, taking it to the next logical conclusion, if you really can't get the Cybertruck wet, sort of like washing a cat, I suppose. This is perfect. This is something I would recommend in all seriousness to Cybertruck owners to use.
I recommend getting rid of the truck.
Or you could just spot clean using a glass cleaner and microfiber cloth, spray the glass cleaner and wipe in a zigzag motion.
My God.
Oh my goodness. So many
Oh,
rules with this
it's
truck.
wild. And basically it's and the other rules are immediately clean the surface. So bird poops on it, pull over. Get your glass cleaner and zigzag it off. Don't want to create scratches because it's going to scratch. Now, there is a solution to this problem.
Don't buy a
It's
Cybertruck.
called paint.
It's called the $5,000 clear coat.
Oh my God.
Why? It's not standard.
You can't rattle can it?
You could. Why not? You could paint it. Although it might short out. I don't know what happens with the paint.
Well, I would say paint over the glass too, just seal everything in and call it a day. Prevent any future leaks.
I think the best solution is to trade your Cybertruck in for a Rivian.
A Fisker.
I don't know. But in other non-Cybertruck related news, do you remember when they talked about how we're going to make the people's car,
Let me
the Tesla
guess.
2, the Model 2 at $25,000 for everyone, electric
Lies.
chargers for all?
Lies.
In fact, it is lies. Because now they're basically apparently abandoning it or, quote, putting it on the back burner
That's code for we're not doing it anymore.
in order to focus on their robo-taxis using the same platform.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever. Sure. Meanwhile, the price of all the rest of the Teslas went up again. And next month they'll put them on sale and then they'll jack them back up again and all that hokey pokey.
Well, they are going through something at the moment because they just laid off 10%
Oh,
of their global staff.
that hurts.
The worst is, and it's quite a lot of, I think it's like 14,000 people.
Wow.
Lot of people. And because it's Elon and he's, I'm sorry, total asshat, I wouldn't want to be under him. Some people found out that they had been laid off when they arrived at work and their badge didn't work.
Wow, that is a bold move, Cotton.
And got escorted away. That's how you let, you're an ass hat. But we already knew this when COVID happened and the whole you can work from home and then you can't, and then the ultimatums that these people that move, they had to move back and all this crap that he did, and then he handled it like a total jerk, you know, in the communications with the people. I'm like, okay, I'm not surprised by this, but what a D move. Can you imagine? Suddenly it's like, what? There's a layoff? And it's me? What?
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, I can see you coming up to the door with your coworker, talking. It's like, man, did you hear about those layoffs? Man, I'm so glad that I still have my job. Hey, that's weird. My badge doesn't work.
Yeah,
Hey, try
right?
yours. Does your badge work? Oh, yours works. Oh, just let me in. Oh, they won't let the. Why can't I get?
No tailgating.
Tesla's like the weirdest reality television show I've ever seen. It just every day it's something.
It's weird. It's all two-sided too. It's like, oh, record sales. We're selling so many. We've built so many. And then you lay off all your people and then you're lowering prices and your stock is going down. But that's because you're doing so well. I don't understand. It's not usually in good times of economic prosperity that people go, you know what? Let's just cut 10% of the workforce for funsies. Although, who knows? Maybe that is what happens.
He's probably sitting around in a bar with his executive buddies, just like, you know what'd be really good? You know how we could like really help the bottom line? You know, they say that like HR and salary and stuff is your worst expense. Let's just cut half or 10% of the workforce. Oh yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. Let's do it. The end.
I mean, I feel bad for those people.
Of
Hopefully,
course.
they're able to move on to something bigger and better.
Well, you have once again successfully lowered my expectations.
Lowered expectation.
Oh my God. I'm watching this video and it's pretty good. Couldn't do this with a Cybertruck.
Nope, you sure couldn't. And since we're talking about washing cars, I thought this was appropriate. This is a great April Fool's prank.
She's getting pissed.
So we have the link in the show notes to this. It's a video of these guys basically just messing with this lady who's washing her Range Rover at a self-car wash place, and they keep throwing milk on the car, and she thinks some bird's shitting all over it. I mean,
Is it milk or is it?
it's
Oh, it is
milk.
milk,
It,
yeah.
it's milk. Yeah, it is a riot. Busted out laughing watching this thing. And normally I don't go for this kind of stuff. I was like, oh, this is lame, whatever. But I actually thought this was super funny.
I get it now why they have to, because my cars are old. I don't have all this fancy technology. I didn't think about it on the Cybertruck, why they have to disengage the wiper blades, because they probably, because just like her Range Rover here, she keeps setting the windshield wipers off. It's got the auto sensing windshield wipers. The Cybertruck could probably blow the whole thing up.
I was wondering what would happen if you poured milk on a Cybertruck. Would it just melt?
You'd have to wipe it real quick to not mess up the stainless steel.
How gross would that look? It would look like vomit. Well, switching gears, I gotta ask you guys one more time.
No,
Did y'all watch the Ferrari movie?
not yet.
Whoa, there's a Ferrari movie?
Oh, man. All right, so here's the plan. If you guys aren't gonna watch it, you're not gonna take it seriously.
I'm gonna watch it.
You're not going to answer my question. Who is this movie about? I'm going to take it to higher authorities. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call up John Summers, the motoring historian, maybe my friend William Ross, and see if we can review this movie. How about that?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to review it in the middle of this segment.
I wanted your opinion. That's good
Well,
enough.
okay, well then we have homework for the next month.
Speaking of Ferraris, this could have gone anywhere. This could have been in Stellantis news. This could be Florida Man, but I think it finds its home here in Lowered Expectations.
I mean, this is a frickin' tragedy.
Right?
This is a crime. This is a capital crime.
The guy should be thrown in jail.
Headline reads, not that a headline has never started this way before. Dealership employee.
24-year-old dealer employee.
I repeat, dealership employee reportedly wrecks a Ferrari F40 in a tunnel. Who in their right mind gives the keys to a $3 million low production Ferrari to a 24-year-old?
Lawrence Stroll.
Yeah. I don't care that the driving laws in Europe are stricter and more this and more that than they are here in the United States. Nobody in their right mind is going to give a 20-year-old, unless they're a YouTuber that can afford the car, the keys to an F40. I mean, come on.
Imagine it. Dude's like, hell yeah, I'm gonna let it rip. I'm gonna hear it through the tunnel.
Meanwhile, it stepped out on him, didn't know what the hell to do with 500 horsepower in a car that weighs nothing, and put it in the wall. Sounded hella good for the gram.
Yeah, wow.
This is criminal because this car is trashed.
They say they're gonna repair it.
At whose expense?
The
I'm sure
dealerships.
they must have a massive insurance policy on it.
He had to have spun. Look at how it bent the door. Remember, this is a carbon Kevlar tub. The whole car is like specialty, you know, whatever. The rear wheel is cocked in like reverse stance, bro. He must have been going quick and he spun and hit hard.
This car is no longer $3 million.
No, this car is 30 bucks.
So what the dealership is going to have to pay a lot more than just fixing the car. They're going to have to make this guy whole.
It's going to cost them the value of the car to rebuild this. And I love the comments, V8 Ferrari in a tunnel, who could resist? I'm like, okay, man, let's be a little bit more mature about this for a second.
Wait a minute. You're looking at the comments and expecting maturity? Your first mistake.
I know. I couldn't help but scroll down. It's that morbid curiosity, you know? It's like, ugh, what are the trolls saying?
Here's another question. So this car was going to go for sale or something, right? It was
Yeah,
going to
yeah.
an auction or something. It's $3+ million. Why are you driving it to the auction?
Trailer.
You make a very good point, Tanya. Even in Europe, this car would have been on the back of a lorry in a closed compartment, completely cleaned, ready to
Climate
go.
controlled.
Yeah, something's fishy here. Maybe this was an insurance payout deal, you know?
Like the guy who drove the Veyron into
In the lake.
the Everglades.
I'm not saying it was that. I mean, that's all just conjecture. But to your point, yeah, if this car was being transported to auction in the States, this would have been in a closed vehicle under lock and key.
You would never want to risk this happening or
Yeah.
somebody else hitting you, right?
Yeah.
It was wild. I
Unless he stole it and went for a joyride.
don't know.
Could be.
Un-freaking believable is what it is. So another one bites the dust, unfortunately.
They're gonna fix it.
I gotta bring up this next thing because it has come up on our Discord. It has come up in conversation. I have decided there's a new category of car, and it's called the ultimate highway hoopty. And maybe this is a phenomena on the East Coast. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You've driven the beltways, you've been around the metropolitan areas. And my wife pointed this out to me. Are all the hoopties on the beltway always a Nissan? There's actually a montage video.
It's amazing.
Hoopty Nissans on the highways, and they're all like flapping panels and just hoods, and they're bent and crab walking. They're
He's like, every
garbage.
Nissan is just an Altima. It's the regular, you have the regular Altima. You've got the Haltima, the pickup truck. You've got the HVAC
You've got the Paul Walker Paltima.
Instaltima. You've got the Jarrett Altima.
They're all trash. It's sort of like the PT Cruiser spotting, and then there's the other Camry corners where every Camry has a bashed in left rear bumper, you know, kind of thing. And to your point, it seems to be Altimas more than anything, maybe because that's the only car that Nissan actually sells these days, but they're all trash. We spotted two on the road the other day.
They're still out there. So look at that quality. Look at that underlying quality. They're still out there.
Such
They're
trash.
rugged
Rugged.
because they're abused. They are abused and they're still out there. So they are rugged.
They're so terrible. Rental car agencies won't even pick them up. When was the last time you saw a Sentra at like Alamo? No.
Didn't we rent a Nissan Murano when we were in Texas?
But that was like a decade ago.
No, was it?
It's like 2017.
It was 2017.
Yeah, it was
Yeah,
a
that's
long
correct.
time ago.
You are correct, sir.
Not a decade yet, but getting close.
I've decided ultimate highway hoopty spotting. We want Nissan pictures. Send it to us on our Facebook group. Not only that, I've also decided, argue with me, tell me I'm wrong. Nissans are the people of Walmart of the highway.
You know what's funny? It used to be Kia.
Well, they had the whole USB hacker thing, right? Steal a Kia.
The highway hoopty used to be Kia's.
Well, I've got some rich people things to talk about. Before we get into the actual rich people things news that Tanya has here for us, I found something super cool, and I gotta give mad props to Tanya. A little show and tell if you're watching the video version of this. I finally added a LMP1 Mercedes C9 to my collection, and it is the gorgeous. This is my now prized jewel in my collection.
Yes.
Yeah, it's my precious. I gently buff it with Zymol and stuff at night. We stop by this in your old neck of the woods, Brad, where your dad lives. There's like a toy exchange, they call it, there in a shopping plaza. And we popped in just to see what they have because online they advertise like vintage toys. And I was like, hey, let's go see if they have any model cars and, Legos or whatever else, just to see what they have in there. So we happened to be in that area together. We stopped in, and in this glass case, a bunch of just absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous 1/18 scale model cars. And I got a soft spot for that size model car, the 9, 10 inch cars. Behind me, you'll see I've got Andy Pilgrim's BF Goodrich number 3 Dale Earnhardt C5 Corvette. Also picked that up at the same place when I picked up the Mercedes. In the case, he had Porsche 956, Rothman's car, Steve McQueen 917, the Ferrari Daytona that actually sold at RM Sotheby's last year at Le Mans. I saw that car in person. He had the model of that, some muscle cars. There are probably about 20 cars in the case. And if I could have taken them all home, believe me, I would have. But a little bit on the pricey side. So I had to settle. I almost passed on the Mercedes. Again, I'm going to show it here because it is just so amazing. What's so cool about this, I've never bought one of these Racing Legends models, and this is by Exotto. I have some auto art, I have some other stuff that's really nice. This is a cut above. Like the materials that are used on here are almost watchmaker quality. There's little hinges with these tiny screws. And when you open the engine compartment, it's got wires and hoses and fabrics and just unbelievable amounts of detail, actual springs in the suspension. And I mean, it's just really, really wild. I sort of guffawed at the price when he told me what he wanted for it. And I was like, well, I've spent about that for some other stuff. We negotiated because I've got the Corvette and I got some other things while I was there. So he came down on the price. Super happy to have this. It's not exactly the livery I wanted because I wanted the factory, basically Silverado C9, with the green patch over the brake light. This is the Yves Saint Laurent car. So it's navy blue and white. It's still absolutely gorgeous. It's super heavy too. I wanted to make sure that I got a good deal. So I went online. I want to ask you guys, as our resident price guessers here on the Price is Right, rich people things, how much do you think that C9 is selling for? Don't look it up on places like eBay, et cetera, if you can get it. I'm going to preface this by saying I paid a fraction of what it's worth right now, like on eBay.
So I have an idea of what I think you paid, so I got to multiply that up.
Okay, what do you think I paid?
I think you paid about 250.
I actually paid less than that.
So then I think it's worth, or people are asking on eBay, probably 1500.
Ooh, okay. You're double over. So on the high end, it's half that. It's about 750 to 800. And on the low end, it's about six.
I was gonna say 800.
Yeah, so I got a really, really good deal on it. Now, granted, probably worth more if it had the box, but even then, what was he going to charge me for the box? I mean, come on, it's a freaking box, right? So all the cars were out of the box, but still, if I wanted to turn around and sell it, it's actually a really good investment. We did that episode a while back with Patrick Strong before the holidays, talking about investing in model cars and looking at the higher brands and stuff like this. This was a great opportunity because this came off of an estate sale. So I'm sure he got it at a good rate. There's a decent markup there that he obviously made on the car, but little did I know, bringing that home, I've made money on the car if I decide tomorrow, I want to get rid of it. So I think that's actually really kind of cool. So don't shy away from the model cars if you're looking for an investment. I'm not saying do that instead of buying a 550 Maranello if you can afford it, but think about that too.
Diversify your motorsports portfolio.
And you got it, my man. You got it. Super proud of this buy. Super proud.
Do they make one that is the Silver Arrows livery that you want?
Yes, it costs about the same. So the livery doesn't make a difference.
Because you know where I'm going. If you could find one that you actually want, you could flip that car
Correct.
into the livery you want.
Exactly. So just like real life, buying cars, flipping cars, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, more rich people things.
Oh, rich people things. So Canoe, we remember them, those futuristic looking utilitarian little vans.
Yeah.
Their CEO is also an asshat, apparently, and spent double the annual revenue on his own private jet.
Out of the company funds.
The company funds. That's how you do it.
That's how you run a business. That's how it's done. And they expect this company to be profitable?
Not at that rate.
How did these people not go to jail? That's what I want to know.
They do. They just go to fancy jail.
The ones with the tennis courts, right? We're at this high point in what I call boutique manufacturers. And we're seeing Fisker with problems. We have the Rivians and we have the canoes and we have all this stuff. How many of these companies are actually going to survive?
Not this one.
Not at this rate, that's for sure. Again, I will be amazed if even Tesla, as air quotes, good as they're doing, doesn't get absorbed by somebody in the future. And I think that's always been part of the plan, right? Is to sell patented technology, license it to somebody else to use, which is the Toyota model, right?
Because to your point of them being a software company, now there's, and we didn't talk about it, but there's also rumblings about them licensing their full self-driving BS that's not full self-driving.
So they're going to sell negative one of those too, right? Oh, man. Well, I guess it's time we go south and talk about alligators and beer. Here.
We're going to go south and talk about this poor man.
Was he a poor mountaineer, barely keeping his family fed?
No, but this poor man, he had his 2023 limited edition Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Red Eye Jailbreak.
What?
Apparently that's a thing. Stolen. The kicker on this was, I don't know, apparently he bought the car as an homage to his late mother and all this stuff and yada yada.
Whoa. Pause. How is a Dodge Charger Hellcat Red Eye Jailbreak an homage to your mother?
I don't know, but it was like...
Was his mother a trapeze artist for Cirque du Soleil? Because that's the only thing that makes sense here. Like, what are we...
Well, homage might not be the right word, but he said, to quote, that the main reason I got the car because of her, to represent her.
Again, I ask.
So whatever that means, I don't know, but somehow a limited edition purple Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Red Eye Jailbreak with some vinyl graphics in the paint or something.
What is on the side of, is that Our Lady of Guadalupe?
I think it's the Statue of Liberty, maybe. Or it could be. I'm not really sure. Or it's somebody, something completely different. I don't know.
Is that his mother wearing a tiara?
Or maybe that's a picture of his mom. Oh, I don't know. That's
wearing
a
tiara?
It has a mustache. It's got a goatee.
That's a guy. I think that's Jesus.
It could be Jesus and the thorn of roses on his head. I
think
don't
it is.
Know. There's words too, maybe. I can't tell. That's not the point.
It's entirely the point.
No. Wait. Because the point is he got this for his mother. Represent his mother. I'm using the word homage. Apparently this man had a deep relationship with his mother. So deep that he kept the cup of her ashes in the car. They were stolen with the car, but as he said, the person might not be right, but they had a good heart because they came back and they put the ashes in his mailbox, kept the car, but they returned the ashes, thankfully. Their minds messed up.
He did his due diligence and his investigative work, and he worked to preserve the evidence.
He did.
By using a shirt to close the lid of the container.
Didn't want to
holding
get cross fingerprints.
The ashes.
Okay.
Yes. Very smart. Very smart, Mr. Carter.
Okay, Columbo. To have made the distinction between, quote unquote, the urn. I don't know how these ashes were kept in the vehicle, but I'm going to assume that they weren't kept in the ashtray. So telling the difference between the...
In the cup holder.
Again, I say cup holder, ashtray.
They were in a Carl's Jr. cup.
My point, how do you know that it wasn't just cigarettes? So what I'm saying is collusion, to use Brad's term. This is an inside job. Nobody would know unless it was one of his friends, relatives, or otherwise. I think this was an inside job.
I don't know. It only happens in Florida.
See, that's why the point of this is about the graphics on the side of the car and the homage to his mother and not about the ashes. That's what I'm saying. This is ridiculous.
I don't know.
I'm convinced. That's like Jesus in the toast. That's what it is right there.
I don't know. I can't tell. It's hard to see. The angle of the picture is not good. That's really dark purple with the black graphic. It's hard to see. Nice car.
Jesus in the toast.
All right. Now we can go up north middle-ish of the country to the delightful Yellowstone National Park.
Yogi Bear lives there.
Where some sort of Karen created... Karen of Yellowstone. I apologize to all the good Karens out there. getting a bad rap. Apparently, this woman exited her vehicle and it was an SUV, so it fits the Karen stereotype.
Was it a Range
Was it a
Rover?
G-Wagon?
No, it was not. I think it was a Ford.
Bronco.
Anyway, if you've ever been to Yellowstone, most of the areas through the national park,
Yep.
it's one lane each way, and there's really not a shoulder in anything, and there's all the wilderness there, right? Preserved area. Anyway, so she decided to just, park it, leave it running, because that's environmentally friendly for the national park, and then get out to go do some National Geographic photography. No, she's not part of National Geographic, but she was going to go take a picture of a little bear. Because not only A, what you don't do is leave your car running the middle of the road, you also B, don't try to approach a bear cub. Because C, mama's probably around the corner and you don't want to F with her.
This is you again using the Vulcan logic. I'm gonna start calling you Tuvok in a minute. Bears are cuddly, they're warm, they're fuzzy, they're friendly.
They have giant teeth and claws. They're hungry,
We've
they're
heard other
heavy.
stories out of Yellowstone.
You're right. We've heard about Winnie the Pooh and we've heard about the Bernstein Bears, all of them.
Like, I've been there, I've gone through Yellowstone, the Grand Tetons, all that stuff, and like the wildlife is real. The bisons, they are literally there on the side of the road, and you might actually have to stop for them because they're in the middle of the frickin' road, but you don't want to stop for them. You really want to keep going. That's all real. And the people that get out of their car to approach them, the stories of them getting gored or like catapulted through the air are also real. Public service announcement: do not approach the wildlife. Do not feed the wildlife. Stay in your vehicle at all times. Have you seen Jurassic Park? Don't get out of the Jeep.
Please win that Darwin Award. Thin the herd. Come on. Survival of the fittest. If these people are stupid enough to get out of their car and get killed by a wild animal, then.
Nothing happened with the animal, anything. What she did was apparently it was high season, so caused a huge backup of people that just sat there
Oh my gosh.
behind her. I'm surprised that somebody with the thing running didn't just move the car out of the way, just park it down in the ditch and keep going.
This is like the Church of Petrelhead. Can I get a Dodoy? It's like an amen. Can I get a Dodoy?
I mean, it's one thing if it like she took the keys with her, but the thing's running, like jump in.
Just push it off a
But
cliff.
then Karen would call the cops and accuse
Yes.
you of grand theft auto.
Yes, 100%. Just make sure the ashes aren't in it.
I'd like to speak to the manager.
What you do is you get in it, you don't actually get fully in it. You put the emergency brake down and you put it in neutral and you let it go.
Let
And
it go.
wherever it goes, it goes.
Not full brick move, Ferris Bueller on the accelerator. Just send it.
No, you can claim, oh, she must have left it in neutral. I don't know what happened, Ossifer.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's time we go behind the pit wall and talk about motorsports news. And we have some NASCAR news this time. You know, it's one of these moments where truth is stranger than fiction.
But it's not surprising.
Not at all. Headline reads, Moonshine Cave found underneath North Wilkesboro Speedway grandstands, track officials say.
I mean, sure.
I mean, there's nothing more NASCAR than this story.
Exactly.
700 square foot still shine operation that was basically buried under these cement grandstands for decades.
I mean, it's a pretty cool find.
It is kind of cool. I'm sure Dale Earnhardt Jr. will do something on Lost Speedways about it soon enough. But the point is, it does harken back to stock car racing's original history. We had Buzz McKim give a presentation about this, about the ties back to moonshining and the origin of NASCAR. It goes back and forth. The races on the beach at Daytona, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's some revisionist history happening here where it's like, well, we don't want to talk about the shiner days and all this kind of thing. But like you guys, I think this is kind of cool. To see, I wonder how many other NASCAR tracks might have hidden treasures like this. I recently discovered a story about another track where it was said that at one point, I think it was Henry Ford had commissioned, you know, the celebration for like 4th of July of the race. They had stored fireworks under there, and thank God it was made out of cement because somebody threw a cigarette that was still like sort of lit and it set all the fireworks off and like exploded underneath the cement. I mean, this was way back in like the 1910s, 1920s kind of thing. So, I mean, crazy, crazy stuff like this. So, to your point, not a surprise that there's a still under there or, you know, illegal alcohol production facility. Let's call it that. I mean, cool finds, right? Lost history.
No.
Speaking of things that are lost, I don't know about you guys. I don't often get the time to watch the Craftsman truck series, but you had to have heard about this race at COTA.
Nope.
Quote, the driver drove the wheels off of it.
Mechanical failure.
That is a big one. Basically, the whole rear end of the truck fell off and went into the middle of the track as the car careened into the corner. So, truth sometimes is stranger than fiction. So, if you watched that race and you saw it, maybe tell us about the details. I still have to go back and watch the replay, but I found it extremely amusing. And, unfortunately, stuff happens, stuff breaks, but to have a whole rear differential axle, it looks like they just purposely took it off the truck. That's a big failure. So, somebody.
Yeah, someone's getting fired.
Exactly. Well, let's switch to open wheel racing for a little bit.
Would this be considered open wheel?
That's a good one. That's very true. So before we get deep into IndyCar and Formula One, did you guys hear about the debut of the F1 arcade in Boston?
No, I had not heard of that.
I've seen stuff about it on Instagram and everything, but I never really paid much attention to it.
So I thought it was going to be maybe an extension of F1 Boston, if you guys remember that. That's the go-kart track that became really, really famous like back in the early 2000s in Boston. We've been there a bunch of times. It's a heck of a lot of fun. They got multiple courses. It's really big for indoor, complicated, multiple floors, all this kind of stuff. And so I was thinking, oh, they finally expanded, trying to be back in the news. Well, no, downtown Boston, F1 Arcade, it's a bar.
Dave and Buster's
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, exactly.
Formula One themed simulator.
So the Toto and Christians.
Toto and Christians, exactly. I had some friends that are in the sim business kind of check out these videos that are out. I happened upon the one from Two Girls, One Formula. Outside of their kind of preliminary stuff of getting into Boston, they did an interesting tour of the facility. So I watched that. It was a great way to digest it in quick order and get a feel for, like you said, the Dave and Buster's of Formula One. So I think if I was in town, I would check it out. What about you guys?
I would, but it'd probably be a ridiculous amount of people. Maybe in a little while when things calm down.
Definitely, I would check it out the next time I'm in Boston. IndyCar has been at the forefront of safety in open wheel racing. They were the first ones to kind of introduce the Halo and some of the other stuff. And, we could debate, oh, Formula One, the pinnacle of technology, but really IndyCar sort of adopted that. And Formula One came later. IndyCar changed to the windscreen and Halo setup, which they've used for the longest time. And now it looks like they're getting a whole new windscreen setup for, it looks like next season. So they're making additional modifications to the IndyCars. And I guess that will translate through open wheel racing, probably into Formula One here in the near future.
Possibly. So IndyCar is not governed by the FIA, is it?
No, it is not.
I don't know that Formula One would adopt this similar.
Why are they making this change?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the episode that we did with Penske's aerodynamicist, Lauren Sullivan. And so, because of the speeds that are sustained at the Indy 500 and some of these other oval events that they do, they need to find every possible way to make the car as slippery as possible, but maintain the safety. And so, the new quote unquote aero screen is designed to improve the aerodynamics and the airflow going around the driver. So, it looks a little odd. It's kind of tankish when you look at it.
I mean, they added vents and they put a lid on the top basically because the current windscreen is really like an open wheel windscreen. So it just comes up and it's open over your head. Looks like they put a top on it, but then obviously, so you don't freaking boil and suffocate, there's two huge vents to
Yeah.
push air in.
So basically, if they put fenders over the wheels, they've got a prototype.
Gee, I'm glad you brought that up. Funny how that works. It's all going to be endurance cars soon enough. Well, let's talk about Formula One. What has happened here over the last month?
Still the Max show. Won 4 out of the 5 races. Missed that one because car broke.
Yes! Yes!
Otherwise, Carlos won that one, I think, instead. So good for him.
Let's clarify. Didn't Verstappen's Red Bull catch on fire?
Yes, there was a brake issue on basically lap one. The rear brake was stuck, so it was constantly riding the brake. And then obviously he was having handling issues, didn't realize, or they didn't communicate what it was. And he came into the pit lane, and it got to the point that it literally exploded into a burst of flames because it got so hot. And that was it.
That's awesome.
Basically, catastrophic failure that put him out of the race on like lap two or three or something.
Awesome.
And otherwise, I think all the other races, he's been, 45 seconds ahead of the next car and like lather, rinse, repeat from last year. How exciting.
How fast was he during the sprint race? He was like 20 seconds ahead in a, or no, like 10 or 15 seconds ahead in a 20-minute race or something ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean,
Cheating. Cheating.
I don't know.
There's something going on.
The thing I don't understand is he's so much faster than even Perez.
And not to spoil an upcoming episode, but we're doing a tribute to Ayrton Senna. And so it commemorates 30 years since his passing, tragic passing at Tamburello at Imola. And one of the comparisons that we made on that episode was Verstappen to Senna. If you look at Senna's 1988 season, he had the perfect run. He missed all but one, and that was the event at Monza because that was sort of like giving the nod to Ferrari because Enzo had passed. And so Ferrari wins it at Monza and the whole thing, right? Kind of thinking about it, drawing this parallel between Max and Senna, which you can make, especially if you extrapolate all the data that exists and all this kind of stuff. But the one thing that kept coming up, and I've said this before, and you guys told, oh, nah. I want to put Max in Haas and see what he does.
Why are you saying we rah, rah, rah? I don't disagree with you. I've never said contrary.
A lot of people have.
I don't think Brad has either.
Shout out to Sam Harrington.
No, but a lot of people have. That's so stupid. That's what I want to see him in another car. The same argument was made with Senna. You put the best driver in the best car, he's always going to win. Is it the driver? Is it the car? If you want to make the decision, put him in a lesser car and see how he does. If he kicks butt 20 seconds ahead in a Ferrari or in a Mercedes, which we know is slower, or in a Haas, to make the joke, okay, it's Verstappen. He's that good. You've got to take the Red Bull out of the equation.
But the only way to really prove that is to have everybody driving the same car.
Oh, that's called spec racing.
Oh, NASCAR.
Well, I mean, to Brad's point, he's miles ahead of his own teammate in supposedly the same car, which they're not exactly the same, right?
So that goes back in the history books. And it's something that we talked about even with Senna, with all these different teammates outside of Prost, they would make these negotiations. Like when he was at Lotus, because of the budget. Now, I'm not saying Red Bull doesn't have deep pockets because they all sort of do. But back in those days, he would demand my car gets the best parts. The cars are, yes, in look and feel, they are equal, but they are not. The other car, the backup driver, the number two driver, basically got all the leftover crap and it met spec and it met qualification or whatever, but the lead car got the better parts. I'm not saying it's exactly the same. Maybe the tuning is different. I mean, so many different things in a modern Formula One car, but I'm wondering, A, if some of that is happening, or B, like I've said before, maybe they're cheating and nobody's been able to prove it yet.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a consistency in him, no doubt, that he can consistently just lap after lap hit the same freaking mark exactly the same way. When you've seen some of the races where he passes the other cars as if they're parked, and I know there's the DRS and all that stuff, but some of the gap closing is just extraordinary. And it's like this car is in a league of its own. It's not even,
Again, is it the car? Is it him?
well, in a straight line, it's the car, because what is his talent? Pushing the pedal down.
Corner exit speed makes a huge
I
difference.
mean, yes, in that regard, yes, the corner exit speed, but on some of the tracks with the really long straights.
But here's the thing. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we look back, we might be talking about Verstappen as the second coming of Senna. I want to put it under a different lens. And I know I've been hating on Verstappen for a long time, but I've come into this new way of thinking. Maybe I'm not hating. Maybe we are seeing something just like we saw it in the 80s when Senna was coming up. Because if you watch some of those races, he was ballistically fast compared to everybody else. His closing rates, his exit speeds, it was like he was driving a space shuttle and everybody else was driving Cinquecentos. Again, I'm wondering if this is sort of the second coming of Senna.
Did anybody make that same comparison when Lewis Hamilton was winning all his championships?
No, Lewis Hamilton was constantly compared to Schumacher. He was in Schumacher's shadow. And even though Hamilton wanted to be Senna, that whole attitude and this facade that he put on that I'm not here to make friends and he wanted to emulate Senna, he was more like Schumacher. He's cold and calculated and precise and consistent, not that passionate driving, not that just on the ragged edge, lap after lap. Senna was that way. He drove at the ragged edge, 13 tenths every lap the same. just ridiculous with complete disregard for everybody else. And the thing is, granted, more Formula One drivers come up through karting than ever before, but back then it was super rare. And Senna was a karter before he was in Formula One. He went Formula Two and moved up the ranks. But Max also comes from a big history and practice of karting. And when you watch him drive,
They all do, though. Everyone in the grid right now does.
well, Lance Stroll comes from Mario Kart.
But my point is, it's hard to take the Carter out of the boy. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen some of that behavior with Verstappen. So I'm just telling people, for the haters out there, I think in a couple of years, we'll be looking back going, damn, we were here for the beginning of something amazing.
But in the moments where the car hasn't been good, he hasn't done shit. Very few races where like the car was having problems. Like he couldn't, I don't know if he got into a Haas because the Haas is inferior that he could win, and definitely not by 45 seconds or something ridiculous like that. I don't
Yeah.
think anybody could. I think what will be more telling, and the jury is out on the car versus him and all that stuff, because everyone claims the car is because of Adrian Newey. He designed it. Well, guess what? He's leaving Red Bull. So if he builds the same car somewhere else and now suddenly that gap closes, now you know it's the car, right?
For sure.
Now if he has to fight somebody for that first place constantly and there's real racing going on, because he's out by himself doing time trials. He's
Yeah.
not under pressure to make a mistake. He doesn't have to make a mistake because he's got somebody breathing down his neck.
Yet he always has something to complain about.
Right? So that's a whole different dynamic too. When you're out there just doing hot laps by yourself, the dynamic's different. So who knows? So it'll be interesting to see. We don't know, allegedly, this was kind of breaking news today, where Newey's going. It says he wants out and he's gone. He's going to even break the contract that he has, I think, to get out. Because I think technically his contract goes till the end of next season. But he can, I think, break it and get out so that he could be with a new team starting next season.
Andretti.
Be interesting to see where. Well, there was, I think, rumors a while ago about, oh, if Hamilton moves and Adrian like goes with him, would he go to Ferrari? Or did Daddy Warbucks pony up some big cash to bring him to Aston so his son can look good? I don't know.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see, because if he clones a Red Bull for somebody else.
Or let's say he doesn't sign with a team at all. That reeks of suspicion that maybe they were on the verge of getting caught for doing something, Lotus-esque in this modern time, and he doesn't want to be associated with it. Conspiracy theories. What?
That's a very NCAA collegiate sports theory there.
Just saying, it could happen.
I suspect he's trying to get out because of the whole Christian Horner drama, and there's probably more going on there.
That's supposedly the impetus for it, is the whole Horner allegations thing. He's like, nope, I'm done with this.
Well, let's just cross our fingers and hope he goes to Audi. I mean, Sauber, and the Germans is coming to destroy everybody. It'd be perfect.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Which, speaking of Audi, apparently they've signed their first driver and it's not Carlos Sainz,
Uh-oh.
even though there's rumors about that they're courting him and this, that, and the other, but they have Nico Hülkenberg.
What?
Like, okay, he's sitting there backmarking in Haas right now. Like, cool. Really? You could have brought Vettel back out of retirement. I don't know.
Probably would have been better.
They still might.
There's a rumor about that too.
They could get bonus out of retirement.
Out of his green state car? What?
Yeah. Is there anybody else on the list with a German last name? Let's start there.
There are no other German drivers on the grid right now.
That's why they chose Hülkenberg. It's very simple.
Yeah.
The way Volkswagen works, they're going to start there. Just going to leave it alone.
But couldn't they still get Mick Schumacher?
That's not
He's not doing
yeah.
anything right now.
Could. I don't know who any of the reserve drivers are. If there's any German ones, there might be. But the next F1 news is Miami. Welcome to Miami. $1,000 for 3 days. Get your wallets open.
I'd rather not.
So May 5th, I believe, is that race. Another spectacle.
Well, if that's all we got, we will tune in next month for more Formula One recap. But for now, our motorsports news is brought to us in partnership with the International Motor Racing Research Center in Watkins Glen. So I just want to let you guys know the raffle closed, and we do have a winner of the 2024 E-Ray that they were raffling off. Apparently, it is going to a man in Florida, so we may see this car show up in the news soon enough. The rumor on the street is they've already selected the next raffle car. So, spoiler alert, it's going to be another Corvette. This time it will be a Z06. So, I don't have all the details on that yet, but look for an upcoming announcement on the next raffle car for the 2024-2025 season. And by the way, if you do buy a raffle ticket and you win, you do have the option to take home the car or a cash prize option instead. But please note that every ticket you buy goes to continue the work being done at the IMRRC, which is a nonprofit organization celebrating its 25th year of existence this year. So through your help, it keeps the lights on, keeps things going, keeps research going. And it's for a really great cause because they are at the epicenter of a lot of things in the motorsports communities. Really appreciate the work that they're doing, and your help by participating in these sweepstakes and other things very much goes a long way. So that being said, teasers for upcoming events at the IMRRC. On May 11th, there is going to be a center conversation called Oswego Supers, a Legacy of Speed at the Steel Palace, which includes the Purdy Deuce, one of the legendary super modifieds that's run at Oswego, and it's currently on display at the center. If you look at our Instagram, if you look at theirs, all the social media stuff, we have some special articles about the Purdy Deuce. We recently sat down with Camden Proud, the PR director from Oswego, to talk about the history. Kip Zider came on and did a short, what we call TLDR, too long didn't read, about the importance of the Purdy Deuce. Lots of stuff around that. They're going to be recording the session and we'll be able to bring that to you later in the season. And then again on June 22nd, there's another center conversation. This one even more important. It's called The Greatest Corvette Story Ever Told. It's about the Camerati Corvette, which has multiple wins under its belt to include Le Mans. Really, really awesome car. It's the tail end of the C1 Corvettes. So, first generation Corvettes. Again, they're looking to record that. We'll get that out and remastered later in the year. And then on September the 12th, there will be the Cameron R. Argentzinger Award for Outstanding Contributions to Motorsport. I am privy to who is getting awarded this year. Can't say yet. The official press release will be coming out any day now. So, stay tuned to that. And I think a lot of people will be shocked. And tickets are on sale for the Argentzinger Award dinner right now. You can get those from the IMRRC website by clicking on store and then going to awards dinner. And then don't forget, November 1st through the 2nd, mark your calendar. The 8th annual Michael R. Argentzinger Symposium on Motorsports History is going to be held at Watkins Glen International. And we will again be carrying it on the Motoring Podcast Network and live streaming it for you on our Twitch. So stay tuned for that. And we are re-releasing remastered presentations from throughout last year's symposia out on Breakfix and out on the Motoring Podcast Network throughout the year. So stay tuned for some really interesting and educational episodes throughout the rest of the season. Well, guys, we've hit the wrap up, so it's time to bring it home.
As a reminder, you can find tons of upcoming local shows and events at the ultimate reference for car enthusiasts, collectorcarguide.net.
So I want to remind you, if you're still planning your track season, look no further than hpdejunkie.com for an update list of events from all across North America on their website. You can filter by location and find the perfect HPD event for you. And be sure to keep an eye on our motorsports calendar on gtmotorsports.org/events to learn about other special events like autocrosses, rallycross, go-karting events, and other various disciplines of motorsport that you shouldn't miss.
We just crested 335 episodes of Break Fix while you've been listening to this episode. But more importantly, we've expanded our catalog as part of our new Motoring Podcast Network, where you can enjoy programs like the Ferrari Marketplace, the Motoring Historian, the History of Motorsports series, Break Fix, and others. Search for Break/Fix or Gran, no D, Touring everywhere you download, stream, or listen. And be sure to check out www.motoringpodcast.net for reviews of the shows, new episodes, bios of our on-air personalities, and descriptions of the services we offer.
Did you know you can sign up for our Patreon for free? Lots of great extras and bonuses, even on the free tier. But if you'd like to become a Break Fix VIP, jump over to www.patreon.com/GT Motorsports and learn about our different tiers, join our Discord, or become a member of the GTM Clubhouse by signing up at club.gtmotorsports.org. Drop us a line on social media or visit our Facebook group and leave us a comment. Tell us what you like, dislike, and send us ideas for future shows.
And remember, for everything we talked about on this episode and more, be sure to check out the follow-on article and show notes available at gtmotorsports.org.
And as always, a special thank you to our executive producer and co-host, Tanya, and to all the fans, friends, and family who support GTM. Without you, none of this would be possible. Otro.
Pietro.
And we're out.
The drive-through line, me and her, cars in front of us, cars in back of us, all just waiting to order.
There's some idiot in a Volvo with his bright sun behind me. I lean out the window and scream, hey, what you trying to do, blind me? My wife says maybe we should park.
We hope you enjoyed another awesome episode of Break Fix Podcast, brought to you by Grand Tory Motorsports. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or get involved, be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Grand Touring Motorsports. And if you'd like to learn more about the content of this episode, be sure to check out the follow-on article at gtmotorsports.org. We remain a commercial-free and no annual fees organization through our sponsors, but also through the generous support of our fans, families, and friends through Patreon. For as little as $2.50 a month, you can get access to more behind-the-scenes action, additional pit stop minisodes, and other VIP goodies, as well as keeping our team of creators fed on their strict diet of Fig Newtons, Gummy Bears, and Monster. So consider signing up for Patreon today at www.patreon.com/GT Motorsports. And remember, without you, none of this would be possible.